digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Bioagent is more virulent than we thought. All we're doing here is just masking the symptoms.
I understand.
There's something you may want to consider.
What's that?
A possible treatment using stem cells from a genetically compatible donor. I saw your file. It says you have a daughter.
I don't want my daughter involved in this.
Daddy, Agent Walker told me that there's a chance, a small chance that I could help you, and you don't want me to.
I'm dying. And whatever small chance there is to stop that from happening, it is not worth the pain for me to let you sit there and watch me die.
Jack, Hodges has 13 Python missiles armed with the bioweapons. He demanded that I recall the planes or he would launch.
Tony Almeida is still inside Starkwood. He believes he can gain access to the fuel depot and lay a series of explosive charges and take the missiles out.
What do you think you're doing?
You're gonna take me down to the fuel tanks.
Tony sets explosive charges.
You're too late.
The missiles are ready for launch. Tony presses the detonator. A massive explosion rips through the bunker.
Jonas, we've taken out your missiles. It's over.
And you're under arrest.
You can't even begin to imagine what you're up against.
What are you talking about?
You'll find out.
Agent Moss, this is Davis at Auxiliary Gate 6. I have a Starkwood op in custody. He was carrying a canister of the bioweapon.
Are you sure?
I'm looking at it right now.
One of the Starkwood ops, he's got a canister of the bioweapon. So I need you to close down all access roads and alert perimeter units and Metro Police.
Just get me DC Metro.
I'm gonna pursue from the air. Let's go!
Larry is gunned down by the Starkwood operative.
I'm okay.
Tony.
Tony!
Tony smothers Larry.
The following takes place between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m.
A young blonde woman comes downstairs.
Yeah.
Patricia, Matt, I just got off the phone with Secret Service. You're cleared with White House security at the south entrance. How soon do you think you can get there?
Within the half hour. Do you have any more information why Hodges was arrested?
They didn't give me a lot. Apparently Jonas was in some kind of a policy meeting with the president and things got out of hand. And that's when he requested his favorite attorney.
I'm flattered. I'll call you after I've spoken to him.
Thanks a lot.
Trisha puts on a pair of steel-rimmed glasses, checks herself in the mirror, picks up her coat, and heads towards the front door. Opening the door, she is confronted by a man holding a cloth to his mouth. He sprays an aerosol in her face. Startled, she falls backwards onto the hall rug, seemingly paralyzed. The man produces a hypodermic syringe, which he inserts into a vein in her hand. Meanwhile, a young blonde woman, remarkably like Trisha in appearance, goes through her wallet, pulling out ID and credit cards.
Hurry up.
She hands one of the cards to the man, who takes Trisha's fingerprint by means of a small electronic pad. The woman removes Trisha's ring and places it on her own finger. She then takes her spectacles, coat, and briefcase and crosses to the hall mirror. As she checks herself over, the man comes across with a small device. The bogus Trisha places her thumb on the pad. As she pulls it away again, she seems to have a transparent wafer of plastic over her thumbprint.
Janice, we just got an ID on the suspect. One of Starkwood security cameras picked him up leaving the compound. He was carrying a backpack. Robert Galvez, 2-year Starkwood employee, former special force.
Relay that information to Larry. He needs to know who he's tracking. I've been trying. He's not answering his comm. Come for a way as backup.
There's still a few minutes out, but Agent Parks' teams have secured a 4-block perimeter. The bioweapons canister is secured within the cordon.
I get Galvez's picture and description out to tactical and distribute department-wide.
Got it.
And keep trying, Larry.
All units, I'm uploading a photo of the suspect to all agents' PDAs. His name is Robert Galvez. Be advised, he has advanced military training, so proceed with caution.
Tony stands over Larry's dead body, wearing a grim and hunted expression. He snaps the magazine into a pistol and hesitates before shooting himself in the side.
Ah! 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 Ah!
Amit, are you there?
Are you in a secure location?
I'm holed up in a storage yard near the projects in Jefferson. I just spotted a patrol. I think I better keep moving.
No, don't. The FBI's got the entire perimeter locked down, and they know who you are.
How?
They have a picture, which means the search teams can ID you on site. Just stay put until I can get a read on their search protocols, and I'll guide you out.
I should have never let you talk me into helping you.
I promise you, that canister you stole from me is worth a lot of money to the people I'm working for.
A hell of a lot of good that money's gonna do me in prison.
Just shut up and do what I tell you to do. Guard the canister, stay put, and wait for my call.
Tony collapses back with the pain of his self-inflicted wound as two FBI 4x4s pull up onto the concreted area.
Got agents down. Get a med team out here now. Almeida, can you hear me? What happened? Where's the suspect?
He ambushed us.
Did you see where he went?
I don't know.
Renee, I just got confirmation the TAC team has arrived at the scene.
Do we have a 20 on Larry?
Not yet.
Excuse me, Agent Walker. I know you're busy. Kim, I just came to say goodbye.
Goodbye? Where are you going?
Back to L.A.
I don't understand. You're not going through with the treatment to help your father? I mean, it's his only chance for a cure.
I know that. And so does he. But it's a slim one. And he believes it's not worth taking, so... If he's gonna die, he wants it to be on his terms.
Yes, but can't you change his mind?
I would think you'd know by now that no one can change my father's mind when it's made up.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I put you in this position.
No, don't be. I'm grateful to you, Agent Walker. My father and I got to say a lot of things to each other. I wish I could have said more, but I don't want to cause him any more pain.
Renee, Agent Park is on the phone for you.
I need to take this.
I understand.
Good luck.
This is Walker.
It's Park.
Agent Moss is dead.
What?
Apparently he was killed in an ambush by the suspect, a chopper pilot too. Tony Almeida's been shot, but he's alive.
I've got medical personnel working on him now.
Agent Walker?
Do we have any lead on Galvez?
No, but the area's been cordoned off. Couldn't have gotten far.
We're setting up an operations base here in the scene to coordinate the manhunt. How do you want to proceed?
Me?
You're the ranking agent in charge now.
Tears are welling in Renee's eyes.
Maintain the perimeter. Begin a south-north sweep. I'll chop out a team and meet you there as soon as I can.
Agent Walker, I have more than enough personnel. You don't need to be involved in the search.
Yes, I do. Keep me posted if you hear anything.
Yes, ma'am.
Larry? He was killed in a shootout with a suspect.
Oh, God.
I need you to brief the White House on what's happened. Call Dr. Macer, have her deploy a hazmat team to the perimeter line. Assemble a team to chop her out with me.
I'm so sorry.
Someone's gonna need to notify Larry's ex-wife. Probably shouldn't be me.
It's okay, I'll take care of it.
Renee walks swiftly away. Janice remains deeply downcast. End of part one.
All right. We've debriefed on hours 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. pertaining to the CIP recovery and capture of Ike Dubaku. Now, Mr. Bauer, maybe you'd like to take a break.
No. We need to finish this while I still can. Let's go.
Now, according to your earlier statement, it was about this time you received intel regarding the imminent attack on the White House.
Tony Almeida provided me with the intel, but we did not know the White House was a target at that time.
And who was Mr. Almeida's source?
He was interrogating a mercenary.
Did Almeida give you a name?
Yeah, sorry. Cardiff. He said his name was Vincent Cardiff.
Did you yourself question this source?
No. He didn't survive Tony's interrogation, but he was the one who provided us with the intel of the upcoming attack. But we did not know that the White House was the intended target at that time. We did not know the White House was the intended target at that time.
Mr. Bauer? You sure you don't want to take that break?
I'm repeating myself again. I'm sorry.
Here's the data files you asked for, sir.
Jack spots the commotion outside. 2:10.
Excuse me.
He moves out into the corridor.
We are not going to lose control of the situation. I know that most of you are tired, working double shifts, but I need each and every one of you focused and alert if we are going to locate the suspect and secure the bioweapon canister that he's carrying. While I'm out in the field, you will pass all pertinent information out of this office through Janice. Let's get to work. Adams, you and your men are with me.
Renee.
I'll meet you at the helipad. The
bioweapon's still out there.
We have it contained.
Wait a second. Just tell me what the hell is going on.
A Starkwood operative by the name of Robert Galvez got away with the canister of the pathogen. We have him trapped inside a perimeter a mile or so from Starkwood's compound.
Is Larry in command of the perimeter?
He was killed in a firefight.
What?
Tony was injured. He's at the scene with the advanced team.
Larry's dead.
We have two agents down. Yes, I have to go.
Renee heads away briskly down the corridor in her flak jacket. Jack watches, then turns and runs off. A medic checks Tony.
An inch to the left, the bullet might have nicked your splenic artery. You need to get yourself checked out at the hospital, sir.
Yeah, I can't do that right now.
Let me get you something for the pain.
No, I need to keep my head clear.
Sweep 9, this is Mobile Command. What's your status?
Mobile Command, this is Sweep 9, Southeast Grid 211. Clear, moving on.
Copy that, Sweep 9. Sweep 7, what's your position?
Larry 214, nothing so far.
No sign of him? Don't worry, we'll find him. You should get some rest.
Thanks.
Tony steps away from the FBI group and makes a call.
Yeah. They're sweeping north, clearing grids. You got a clear path on Jefferson all the way up to 12th and 13th Street. That should be the last site of their searching. Judging by the progress, it'll give you about 30 minutes. Should be plenty of time.
Time for what?
You still got that C4 I gave you?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. I want you to find a structure. A store, a warehouse, something big enough where they have to enter and search. We need to draw as many of them into the building as possible, and then blow it.
You want me to blow up a couple of dozen FBI agents?
You got a problem with that?
You're still gonna have the perimeter locked down. I don't see how doing this is gonna get me out of here with the canister.
Yeah, I got that worked out.
A helicopter prepares to take off from the FBI HQ helipad. Renee climbs aboard. She looks out from the darkened cab with an expression of huge sadness. She turns as someone gets in through the door on the other side.
Jack, what the hell are you doing?
I'm going with you.
You're ill.
If my condition interferes with your operation, I will stand down. I give you my word.
Jack.
You want to keep arguing about this? Waste more time, fine. I'm not getting out.
She turns away as if remembering Kim's words about the futility of arguing with Jack. The helicopter dusts off. 2:13. 2:17. The bogus Trisha passes through a security gate and into a checkpoint at the White House.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Miss Eames, you're Jonas Hodges' attorney.
That's right.
They told us to expect you. I just need you to place your thumb against the glass.
She does as requested. The machine seems to corroborate her identity. She looks on intently as the security guards scrutinize her documents.
Sergeant Cadden will escort you to the holding area.
Thank you.
How could this man have gotten out of Starkwood with a canister of the bioweapon?
No one's sure, but he's already murdered four people, including Larry Moss.
President Taylor stops dead.
The FBI has tracked him to a nearby residential district. They've sealed off the area and are conducting a thorough search. Mom, this man Galvez is a Starkwood operative. Clearly, Hodges is behind this.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
As Hodges was taken away, he said it wasn't over. He alluded to others, called himself a small cog in a very large machine that I wouldn't be able to stop.
He was ranting.
That doesn't mean he wasn't telling the truth. I need to find out what Hodges knows about this. I want him taken to the FBI for interrogation.
He's a sociopath, Mom. He's not going to talk. He's going to want to make some kind of deal in exchange for his cooperation. Mom, you're not considering that.
Olivia?
You know what this man is, what he did to Roger.
Just get him to FBI.
2:19. Olivia stares at her mother. Hodges lies on a bunk in his holding cell.
Mr. Hodges, your attorney's here to see you.
Oh, it's about damn time.
Hodges gets up slowly. He pauses minutely on seeing the bogus Trisha, who stares intently back at him.
We're going to need some privacy.
The soldier withdraws.
You're a little taller than her, but it's a good look for it.
Hello, Jonas.
I'm not gonna ask how you got in, but I'm definitely interested in how you're gonna get me out.
Jonas, you're in a very difficult position. And your actions today have put everyone else in a very difficult position.
Oh, I see. I've upset the card, have I? Everyone's bent out of shape. Where the hell were they when the government came after my company, when Senator Mayer and his subpoena-waving goon squad were trying to ruin me and everything I built?
You would have been protected, Jonas. You and Starkwood. But you jeopardized the plan. That bioweapon that you developed for us was not intended for personal use. The consensus is that you've had some sort of psychotic break.
Well, the consensus is wrong.
Coming from you right now, that's not much comfort.
I want to talk to them. Get some form of communication between us. I want to talk to them.
I think it's a little late for that, Jonas. You've brought undue attention by showing your hand, exposing yourself, and I'm sure you could understand their concern that you may in fact expose the others as well.
How can they do that? I don't know who they are.
You know enough, and they need to be certain. I think we can agree that there's no reason for your family to pay for your mistakes.
Is that why you're here, to threaten my family?
On the contrary. I came to guarantee your family's safety. If you do the right thing.
She holds out to him through the bars of his cell a small red capsule.
It'll induce a cardiac arrest and leave no trace in your system. A natural, dignified death. Without you to prosecute, the case against you and your company will be difficult, likely impossible. Preserving at least some small part of Starkwood's legacy of patriotic service, which I know is very important to you.
Hodges deliberates. Finally, he reaches out and takes the capsule from her hand. She looks back at him with a trace of a smile. The door to the cell opens.
Party's over, Counselor. We're moving him to the Bureau.
My client has invoked his right to silence and to counsel. No one speaks to him unless in my presence. Is that understood?
In some countries, they'd have shot him by now. Process him out.
The mock attorney leaves under Olivia's icy gaze. Hodges is secured with cuffs and chains for being moved out from his cell. The bogus Trisha makes a call on her mobile. A middle-aged man in a striped shirt and tie takes the call.
I met with him.
And?
I'm quite certain he understands our terms. They're transferring him to the FBI for interrogation.
Will that be a problem?
Hopefully it'll just pressure him to resolve the situation sooner rather than later.
I'll be happy when this is behind us. Have you heard from Almeida?
He called in before I met with Hodges.
Mm-hmm. Has he secured the canister?
Soon.
He's your guy. You better not screw this up.
Tony's been the one bright spot in an otherwise dreary day. I have faith will come through.
2:23. Tony takes a call.
Yeah?
I found a place to set up. It's an abandoned apartment building just shy of the North Perimeter Line. 1297 Rincon, corner of 12.
Yeah, I see it. Sweep teams are just entering three sectors to the south. You got less than 20 minutes.
That doesn't give me much time.
No, it doesn't. Maybe you should get off the phone and get to it.
Galvez sets to work. Placing his backpack on a shelf, he pulls out from it several packs of explosive and carefully lays them out alongside the bag. The FBI helicopter flies through the night. Renee sits mutely. Jack throws her a glance. He undoes his seatbelt and slides closer to her. He looks away and then back at her.
I lost two partners in a row. Early on, I couldn't handle it. I guess that's why over the last 10 years I pretty much worked alone. It's all right for you to be feeling what you feel. If you can't do this tonight, that's all right too. Just don't try and pretend like you're not feeling anything. That's how you make a mistake.
Please, Jack. Don't tell me what to feel and don't tell me how to feel it.
She looks bleakly out through the window. 2:25. As the helicopter touches down, Tony Almeida looks on through a section of chain-link fence. He watches as if with some satisfaction as Renee gets out. Jack then descends from the cabin. Tony's expression darkens slightly.
Jack!
Where is he?
It's around the SUV.
You okay?
Yeah, I got lucky. The bullet went straight through. I didn't think I'd see you out here.
I'm only here for observation. You do not have to do this.
Show me.
Renee moves closer as a medic pulls the sheet back from the gurney on which lies Larry's body. She looks down at him. His mouth and chin are covered in blood. There is an ugly wound in his abdomen. Jack looks at her sympathetically as she moves away to stand by a parked SUV. Jack inspects the body. Tony looks on as if rather nervous.
Cover him up.
I'm sorry about Larry.
How the hell did this happen?
It all went down pretty fast. I mean, we were ambushed before we get out of the helicopter. The chopper pilot was hit first, and I was unarmed, so Larry laid down cover so I could get clear. I don't remember a lot, but I definitely heard auto fire. Once I was tagged, Larry came over to help me out, and that's when he was hit. I blacked out after that, but I'm pretty sure Larry saved my life.
Larry was hit with heavy ordnance, shotgun rounds, armor piercing. You were obviously hit with something smaller jacketed.
I treated him as Stalmater. His wound was consistent with a 9mm.
You sure it wasn't a 45?
Not likely. The entry was too small. Why?
Because you have spent 45 casings and evidence.
Galvez had access to the weapons inside the FBI vehicle he stole. He probably switched in the middle of the fight.
That many weapons? In the time frame that you described the ambush? Doesn't add up.
Okay, so what are you saying?
Someone was with him.
Like I said, it all happened pretty fast, but I mean, I didn't think so. I guess it makes sense.
One man didn't do this alone. He had help.
Let's all park to alert the field.
You sure you're okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good.
Jack walks away, leaving Tony looking even shiftier than before. 2:28. End of part two.
Hello?
Can I wake you?
Who could sleep after what happened today?
How'd it go with your father? Sweetheart. What is it? What happened?
He's dying, Stephen.
What?
He was exposed to something. Like a biological agent. It had something to do with the attacks that took place earlier today.
Kim, honey, I'm so sorry.
Isn't there anything that they can do?
No.
I'm coming back home.
Don't you want to stay?
Don't you want to be with him as long as you can?
My presence, with what he's going through right now, will only make things worse.
Do you at least,
Did you tell him about his granddaughter?
Hi, honey.
Kim.
I couldn't, Steven. I couldn't bring myself to tell him I wasn't the only person he was leaving behind.
Telling him about Terry would have only made it worse. I'm gonna try and get on the 610. If I do, I'll be back in LA by 9.
Okay.
You can always leave later if you change your mind.
I won't. I love you both.
We love you too.
Bye.
Kim looks out of her cab window and wipes away tears. 2:34. Jack walks across to the FBI field ops station.
Command, suite 9, 221 is clear.
Copy 9. Proceed to 224.
Copy that.
Why is that area of the grid not been cleared?
Sweep 3, why have you not cleared 219?
Mobile Command, we're encountering some resistance from the neighborhood residents. They're not too happy about their homes being searched without a warrant at 2:30 in the morning.
I'm concerned about their safety, not their happiness. Whoever was helping Galvez may be providing him shelter in one of those houses. If those civilians are interfering in that sweep, arrest them, but get that area cleared. Do you understand? Jack.
Jack, evidently having another attack, walks away to find a quiet corner. Tony, observing Jack go, makes to follow. Jack gets out his injection pack and hurriedly prepares a syringe, which he then puts into his arm. As he pulls the needle out again, he spots Tony looking on from a few feet away.
It's my anesthesia medicine. I should have used it earlier.
Jack, what are you doing out here? Why don't you go back to FBI Medical and let them treat you?
There is no treatment. There's no cure.
Wait. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Why are you in the field?
Agent Walker just lost her partner, Tony. I thought I could help. I owe her that much.
Agent Stoller to Mobile Command, code yellow.
Go ahead, Agent Stoller, this is Mobile Command. Are you reporting a code yellow?
Affirmative. I have a confirmed visual on the target suspect with the canister.
Repeat, confirmed visual of suspect and canister.
Agent Park, may I? Agent Stoller, this is Jack Bauer. Is Galvez
with someone?
Agent Stoller.
Negative, he's alone. Repeat, he is alone.
Copy that.
What's his 20?
Entering an abandoned apartment building on the south side of
Rincon and 12. I am in pursuit.
Try to maintain a visual and wait for backup. Do not engage until we get there.
Copy that.
All primary units respond to 12 and Rincon. Suspect side entering a building with canister. Code yellow.
Agent Park, I want a secure net around the building. Agents at all Lexus, and I want sharpshooters covering all four exposures.
Yes, ma'am.
Careful out there. I still think Galvez has a partner. You watch your back.
Jack watches as Renee gets into an SUV to head off to what neither realizes is an ambush. Agent Stoller has been killed by Galvez, who is now luring the team in. Tony, like Jack, remains behind. 2:38. The bogus Trisha leaves the White House.
Thank you.
Hodges is led out behind her. They pause and exchange a look, his veiled, hers of confident expectation.
All right, let's go.
As Hodges is helped into a van, he spots the tattoo of one of his guards.
Oh, fire. You served with the 27th in Pakistan.
Tours, sir.
Did you by any chance encounter any Starkwood units?
There's a force protection team attached by my CO.
They fought with you?
Yes, sir. Side by side.
Soldier. How would you rate their professionalism? Their performance under fire?
They were good men, sir. Well trained.
Thank you, son. Just made my day.
Hodges is shut in the rear of the van and left alone. His face registers strain and bitterness. The soldier runs around to the front of the vehicle and climbs into the passenger seat of the cab.
Let's go.
Hodges sits, leaning his head back against the side of the van.
Our orders are to deliver the prisoner to the rear entrance at FBI. White House wants to keep this low key.
Hodges' face is grim. He reaches down into a side pocket of his jacket. He cradles in his hand the small bright red capsule. He leans towards it, staring wildly. He places it in his mouth. He swallows abruptly. He clutches his chest. The van screeches to a halt. The sergeant runs to the rear, opening the door to find Hodges on the floor.
This is Sergeant Cadden. Prisoners in severe cardiac and respiratory distress. We are rerouting to West Arlington Hospital. Need emergency medical team standing by. Go, go!
Galvez lies in wait as the FBI team race to the scene in their SUVs. 2:45. Renee gets out and addresses one of the lead agents.
Assemble the teams.
Got it.
Agent Stolo, this is Agent Walker. Do you copy?
I copy you, Agent Walker.
What is your position?
East stairwell between the first and second floor. Suspect with canister has moved to the top floor.
Do you have any indication that he's not alone?
Negative. Not at this time.
All right, stand by. We're coming to you. Agent Stoller puts the suspect somewhere on the second floor. However, there's no guarantee that he's the only hostile on the building. Therefore, we stick to SOP, clearing room by room. Agent Park and I will lead two teams, east and west. Check your weapons and headsets. We move in 60 seconds.
All right, you heard her. You guys are with me. You guys are with Agent
Mobile
Walker.
Command. This is
go,
Walker.
Go.
Go ahead, Agent Walker.
We're about to enter the building. Have hazmat teams on alert in case the canister gets breached.
I hold up.
Better, thanks.
Go.
The team move in.
Ms. Bauer.
Mr. Bauer, this is Agent Mazzelli.
Sorry to bother you with this, but I need to follow up on something from our debrief.
Agent, this isn't a good time.
Some new information has come to light, and I need to clear up a discrepancy.
What discrepancy?
You told me Tony Almeida's source on the White House attack was a man identified to you as Vincent Cardiff?
Yeah, that's right.
Is there a possibility you misremember the name?
No, I don't think so.
Are you sure? You yourself have voiced some concern about your own acuity.
Hold on. What is this here? Agent Mazzelli, I'm gonna have to get back to you.
Locator codes for all units, radio transponders.
Are they in real time?
Yes, sir.
Can you do a map overlay?
It'll take a minute.
Get it done.
What's going on, Jack?
I'll show you.
2:47, the FBI team moves up a staircase.
Clear.
They fail to spot the explosive charges fixed to the walls. Renee shines her torch around. Galvez looks on from a vantage point across the road as the team do a room-by-room sweep in the disused building. Jack stands by a monitor which pinpoints the locations of all FBI personnel.
There, they stole the transponder. He's not even in the building. Agent Walker, this is Jack. Get your men out of the building. It's a trap.
Jack, what?
Stoller's not even in there. Get your men out now.
Code blue! Repeat, code blue!
Code blue, move out!
Galvez detonates the bomb.
Agent Walker, exit park!
This vehicle. Now!
All perimeter teams, this is Park.
agents are down in Portal 12 and Rincon. We need assistance.
Negative, negative. Disregard that order. Maintain your positions. I repeat, maintain your positions.
Bob, what the hell are you doing?
They are trying to pull you off the line. You leave a hole in that perimeter, we are going to lose the canister. Tell your men to stand fast. Medevac is on its way. Get them in the air now!
2:48. End of part 3. Part 4, 2:52, Galvez walks through the confusion. Dressed in Stoller's FBI jacket, Galvez blends with the rest of the team and moves up a staircase with others. Jack and Tony arrive at speed in an SUV.
Jack, I'm going in! Agent Park! How many men are unaccounted for?
Still assessing. There were at least 30 of us in the building when it went up.
And Agent Walker? Renee, this is Jack. You copy? Renee, this is Jack. Do you copy?
Jack runs into the wreckage of the building. Tony wanders through the building. Galvez calls to him from where he has taken cover.
Armada.
You got the canister?
Yeah.
Hurry up, we need to get moving.
Galvez smears his clothes and face with blood from a fallen FBI agent on the ground. 2:54, Jack continues his search. He kneels by a dead body and pulls it over to lie face up. He looks around.
Renee! Renee!
Jack! Jack!
You okay?
Yeah, but he's not breathing.
We need a medic!
A medic arrives at a run to tend to the man on the ground.
You got him. I want to get you out of here. Come on, let's go now.
Jack leads out. Renee follows, clutching her left arm.
How'd you know it was a trap?
Stoller's transponder was outside of the building.
We were trying to thin our ranks to create a diversion. Has the cordon been breached?
No. I told the men to maintain their positions. The perimeter's secure.
It's almost like they knew, Jack. They would have needed time to wire this building with explosives. This is the last sector we were due to search.
You think they knew your sweep patterns?
They must have.
God.
What is it?
I'll meet you back at your vehicle.
Tony carries Galvez out.
Hey, you want me to take him?
No, I got him. I need your help inside.
This is Bauer. You said you wanted to talk to me about Tony's suspect, Vincent Cardiff?
Yes. Thanks for getting back to me. Listen, you told me that he expired during the course of Tony Almeida's interrogation?
Yeah, that's what Tony told me.
Well, it can't be him.
What are you talking about?
Vincent Cardiff was
picked up over an hour ago by customs, trying to cross the border into Canada.
Are you sure?
Look, I'm positive. I've got his arrest report right here. Cardiff's alive.
Were there any signs from his interrogation? Physical violence, abuse, anything at all?
Nothing's indicated on the report. That's why I was asking if maybe you had mistaken the name that Almeida gave you.
Jack spots Tony supporting Galvez as they walk towards an ambulance. He follows. Tony hands Galvez into the care of the medics.
Okay, I got him.
Thanks.
Tony!
Exchanging a look with Galvez, Tony shuts the ambulance door.
Tony!
Yeah. What's going on?
Jack pulls a gun on Tony.
I told you earlier today, if you were lying to me, I'd kill you myself.
What the hell are you talking about?
Cardiff, Vincent Cardiff. You said he was killed during his interrogation.
Yeah, so?
He's alive and well, in custody, and he's showing no signs of physical abuse. Explain that.
All right, look, Jack, I'm sorry. Cardiff knew that by spilling that intel, he's gonna get himself killed. So I cut a deal with him. I told him I'd let the FBI think he was dead so he could walk away and disappear. I thought it was just a meaningless lie.
You and I have been doing this long enough to know that there is no such thing as a meaningless lie. How are you involved in this?
You're not making any sense, Jack. That intel was good. Without it, you'd have never been in the White House to save the president.
What is your involvement?
You're not thinking straight.
How were you shot? Does Galvez even have a second man? Or was it just you?
Just stop and listen to what you're saying. It's insane. It's paranoia. Now, why don't you put the gun
down? Don't you move!
The toxin's starting to affect your judgment. That's what's happening. You can see that, right?
Jack collapses onto the roadway in another of his shaking fits. Tony crosses to him and removes the gun from his hand. He looks down dispassionately and holds up Jack's injection pack.
Is this what you're looking for? I never wanted to hurt you, Jack. I told you to stay out of it. But you wouldn't listen, would you? We get some help here? This man's having a seizure.
Stand back, please. Go get my bag and call Dr. Mason, stat. You're gonna be all right, sir. Just try to breathe.
Jack, powerless, stares wide-eyed as Tony calmly walks away from the scene. The bogus Trisha drives. As she does so, she peels the fake print from her thumb. Hodges is wheeled out from the rear of the van. President Taylor sits, leaning her face against her hand. Galvez is assessed in the rear of the ambulance.
I don't see anything. The wound must be posterior, sir. I need to turn you on your side.
Galvez stabs the medic in the throat. The driver looks round and reaches for his radio, but Galvez gets to him in time.
Put it down, keep driving. Now!
3 a.m. The end.